GTR listeners, the official Gamertag Radio store is now open on TeePublic. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Represent us. You could buy t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, stickers, and much, much more. We are planning to add more designs coming very soon to the store, but as of right now, we have a couple of designs available now, like I Love Gaming and the GTR Gamertag Radio logo and so on. It's pretty cool. So go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 763. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, the whole Gamertag Radio crew up in here. Let's start with Paris. Paris, welcome back. What's up, man? I know last week you were at an event. You're back. What's up?
No, good morning. And obviously, it was good to see you a few days ago. Always a good time when we can get together. And yeah, let's talk some games.
Definitely, man. Oh, I definitely have a little quick story to tell about Paris. So we were playing Call of Duty 4, Black Ops 4. We were playing it, and I forgot which mode it was. I don't know if it was Hardpoint. It was something. I can't remember. And he was the only one left from our team. And Paris was like, nah, man, I have to survive. I'm not going over there to the opposite team. I'm just going to stay here until the time runs out. And everybody looking at him like, just go. So we go to the next round.
Yeah, I was like, screw that. I was like, you know what? Hey, because we were going to lose no matter what. Because the way that mode worked, it was you only have so many lives per team. And we ran out of respawns. So they still had like, what? 12 respawns left or something. Jesus. It was just me. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm surviving. I'm not dying. And I stood on my side of the map until the very end.
I was cracking up the whole time. And I'm like, come on, Paris, you could do this, man. And we were like, yeah, this is Battle Royale here. Yeah.
I was like, F that. I'm not running over there just to get shot. I was like, I'm staying alive. And then, but that was the thing with that mode. Because, you know, with the Call of Duty characters, you know, they have the specialists with their own different perks. Right. And I had the one that he can lay down that barbed wire. So I basically barricaded myself in a room. I'm like, if you're an idiot and you want to run in that room, you're going to take half your health off trying to come in. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going down to blaze of glory. So it was fun. I had a lot of fun.
It was fun. And also joining us this week too, Pete, man. What's up, man?
How was LA? I was over here holding the fort down. Well, y'all were there.
It was good. LA was good. Just a lot of traffic. That never changes. But besides that, it was
true. This is true. Good, though. I'm glad you guys had fun. Yeah. Definitely got a lot to talk about today. And with that.
Yeah.
State of Decay 2. I mean, we're talking games tonight.
Oh, by the way, another story. This is a pretty good one. So typically, they always tell us, hey, you know, go to this area a certain time, get your badges and all that stuff, right? So...
Oh my God.
Yo, so we get our badge and they told us, and I remember this, they told us in advance, don't walk towards the venue because they're not going to let you in. You have to come in the shuttle. So we're like, all right, you know, we're in line. Because the thing is, Paris had to park. So he parked. So we go in line. There was a lot of like fans there because they also got invited, right? The fans from locally from LA. So I'm there in line with Paris and stuff, and there was this guy with an iPad taking names and registering people, and he sees us with our badge, and he was like, nah, yo, you guys got to walk. Trust me. Just walk towards the venue because it's going to take too long. You guys are good. I'm like, and Paris was like, but you guys said 5 minutes. We could go inside the shuttle. He's like, nah, trust me, man. Just walk. So we walk, and it's not a short walk. It's pretty long to walk, you know? So we walk towards the venue, and once we get there, they're like, nah, you can't get in. I'm like, whoa, but they just told us to walk towards the venue. So, yo, it was like a whole process, man, for us to get in. Yo, they had that place so locked down, you know? So they took us, right, Paris? They took us from the entrance of the venue.
Yeah, like we're VIP. It was VIP. It was all top secret. It was hilarious.
Yeah, and you see a couple of PR people that know us, and they were looking at us cracking up and like, yo, what trouble you guys are in right now? Freaking hilarious, yo. And I was just looking at Paris like, yo, Paris, I can't believe this is going on with us right now. Like, yo, they were stopping us every time. Now, hold on. Okay, I'll tell you when it's good to go. Okay, go. That place was so locked down, man. So locked down. Yeah. But it was dope. Yeah, all right. So I know you guys want a lot.
Well, I got one more story. So remember we went to go do our interview, which people, if you listen to the last episode, you hear the interview we did. So we went to go do that and we didn't know exactly where to go. So we saw a few PR people that we knew and, you know, we're trying to ask questions or whatever. And then we saw the two PR people that handle Bungie, you know, for Activision, right? Because mm-hmm. literally this Call of Duty event, it was all hands on deck. So they had all the Activision PR people there. So they immediately see me and then it just turns into Destiny talk at a freaking Call of Duty event. I was freaking cracking up. And then like even Danny was standing there just looking like, wow, really? Everything's Destiny no matter where you go. it was just cracking up. It was hilarious.
She was like, he's like, I'm Destiny. I'm here to help, but I'm Destiny. Okay. Yeah. I'm just letting you know. I'm like, okay, hi. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Yo, we'll see you soon. Wink, wink. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah. All right. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback or Audio Boom. You could take us over there. Make sure to share this content to your friends, family, all that good stuff. Also, you can subscribe to the following places. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories. Make sure to review us, too. That will help us out to climb in the charts. And a big shout out to everybody that have been buying our products at the store, GTR store on TeePublic. Dude, we've been getting a lot of people buying, man. So thank you so much. If you haven't had a chance, go to store.gamertagradio.com. We're planning to have more designs in the near future. So, any ideas, just let us know, too. We'll be getting a lot of different requests, man. I know Let Me Dream was a big one. So we did that, and a lot of people have been buying that. So, and Enhanced. So, yeah, definitely, man.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Pete, we've been playing State of Decay 2 for a couple of days. This is not an official review because, you know, I was out for a couple of days and stuff. So I have a lot of things to say about this game, but I'm curious to know, because it's your first time. You play the first one or no?
I don't recall playing the first one. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, right? I don't think I did. And so I don't want to try to sugarcoat it or say I did or whatever. So considering the fact that I can't remember if I did or not, I'm just going to say no.
Okay. Well, this is my second time. I played the first one. And one of the things that I was a little disappointed in the first one is like, man, no multiplayer. Like, man, this is dumb. But I play this game, and let me tell you, I had to delete my... Sorry, I'm like with a cold right now. I deleted my community, because the thing is, for those that don't know, it's a survival zombie game, but also it's mixed with Sims, right? The story is... I'll tell you the truth, the story is not the greatest. It's not something groundbreaking. The thing about this game that I like is you create your own story, so it depends on what you do in the game, the people that you have in your part of your community. That's what makes the game special, right? So I created a couple of community stories like a couple of times already and had to like restart it because every time I'm like a little bit further in the game, one of my people in the community is either mad, frustrated, there's no food, there's no water, they're arguing with other members. Two, one of them will threat, like, you know what, I'm about to leave, man. I'm leaving. I don't care. If nothing changed, I'm about to leave. And the thing is, by that also could affect the group and your story. You know, because if one person either, let's say one person dies from your group that really, they're really smart in crafting or, you know, stuff with gardening or stuff like that, that also could affect the group because if they're good friends, then everybody's depressed and sad, right? So I did mines. I created mines and stuff. And The thing that's kind of frustrating, and Pete, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but like, I'm just tired of going back and forth because I have to go to one area to find some items in different, like, let's say stores or gas stations or different locations and stuff. And then you have to, the thing is, you can't have a lot of items with you to carry. So I have to go get it, go drop it off at the house, then go back. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a car. So I get a vehicle. And the thing is, the driving in this game is so frustrating. Like, I hate it. I get stuck easily. There's like stuff in the way. The car could easily get stuck, right? Then nothing you have to worry about is gas, right? So I prefer just running all around the places. But the thing is, it gets really frustrating when it's like a location you have to go and it's super far and you don't have a car. And it takes forever. And then let's say it's multiple items you have to bring. You go over there and you can't get enough. Then you got to go back and then back. Oh, it's just too much, dude.
This sounds too like much, a review.
It's no. I'm just. It's not a review because you know what? I still want to play more before I give my final review. But right now, it's my impressions. But it's not like I like the game, but I'm also frustrated with the game. You know what I'm trying to say? So
All right. So I get what you're trying to say, but in reality, when you think of a game like this, right? It's almost similar to what most gamers are used to in a game like this, which is The Walking Dead by Telltale Games, right? It's a survival game, but the survival isn't all just trying to survive the attacks. You know, now you're managing resources and people and trying to, you know, your settlement, you're trying to grow it and make sure that, you know, you're growing food and you've got water and you've got your infirmary. And I mean, hell, I found an Xbox. An original OG Xbox with game discs and stuff like that you got to put if you have room to build a lounge, things like that. So it's almost like I guess you could kind of call it like a 3D open world Fallout. What was that Fallout iPad mobile game or whatever?
Fallout mobile game.
Yeah, it was Fallout 4.
Crap. I know exactly.
But you know what I'm talking about. It's a resource management game at the end of the day, you know, because you're trying to make sure your people are happy, that you've got food, that you've got ammo, that you've got medicine. And that in and of itself is probably the crux where a lot of people are going to, you know, make their decision on this game. Because of the realism in which that part sets itself into, it's not like your normal game where you're running around like Zelda and you can carry 300 pieces of gear and then carry all the food you want to carry. You know, you're encumbered by a certain amount of gear that you can carry. That's why you got to find bigger backpacks. Cause you know, at the beginning you only get like 4 slots. Then you got to find bigger backpacks, dump the old ones and put new ones on so that you can carry more. You also get slowed down the more you carry. So you're not able to be as shifty or elusive. You know, your abilities, you know, a little bit hampered as a result. When you play with 2 people or you play with 3, I can see where this game becomes a little more fun simply because if you've got 3 big rucksacks that you got to bring over, that's one for each person. It makes things a lot easier. But when you're playing this mostly in a single player perspective, then it becomes a lot more tedious because then you're going back 3 times or 4 times, especially when you hit an area that's a lot more developed and you've got more resources that you could pick up and bring back to your camp. Mm-hmm. Playing the game from a technical perspective, again, Microsoft has really nailed it out of the park with the whole play anywhere cross play, concept. I was able to play with you, although you and I had some connectivity issues, where you kept dropping out, which is crazy because later that night, that same evening that I was playing with you and you left, about a half an hour later, Khalif jumped on, no issues until his power went out. But him and I didn't have any issues in the 30 some odd minutes that we played together.
Was it PC or console PC with him?
Console PC. He was on console because his desktop was updating, so he couldn't play. So he jumped on his console and was able to jump into my room.
Well, I've been reading a lot of posts and tweets and different places and stuff. They're saying that there's been issues when it comes to playing online. It doesn't matter which device you're playing. If you're there for a couple hours or a long time, it will get easily like get disconnected. So hopefully Microsoft could figure that out later and like send a patch and stuff. Cause you know, there's glitches in the game, you know, that like sometimes I'll get like characters to come with me to do like, you know, different quests and stuff. And sometimes they're like, they'll get stuck in an area. I'm like, hey, come. And yeah. So I mean, there's still bugs and glitches in the game, man. But like overall, the game, it's fun. It's just little things that it just bugs me, you know? And honestly, you know, if you don't want to buy the game, you could try it out. If you have Game Pass, try it out for the PC and Xbox, and you know, you're good, you know? So, Paris, you have any questions about or comments before we go to the next topic?
Well, it sounds like, and that there's, you know, it's still pre-release, isn't officially out yet. I'd be curious to see what it's going to look like when day one patch comes out, fix some of the issues. It sounds like the concept of what State of Decay 2 is doing is interesting. you'd really need to be into a management style game because it sounds like a lot of what you're really doing in the game. I've not played it myself yet. I won't until it officially comes out because I'm just doing it on Game Pass. But I don't think it doesn't sound terrible. It just doesn't sound great either. So we'll see at launch.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that is good that Microsoft Fallout has Shelter. Something there, you know.
Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, Fallout Shelter. Yeah. That's the one. That's the one from earlier. So, I mean, it's one of those games that I feel like, hey, look, we'll keep you busy until we have more games. Like, that's how I see it. You know what I'm saying? So it is cool. I mean, like I had fun. The first one, I had fun. It was a lot of fun playing it. And, you know, the first time I got to see this game at E3 a couple years ago, was it last year? I think it was last year they showed it for the first time behind closed doors. And I was not impressed. I was like, yo, this looks terrible. Like, but playing it now, it's a lot better compared to the version they showed me last year and stuff. So yeah. P, anything else before we go to the next topic?
No. Just want to leave it on this note. The game seems to be more, you know, it seems to be more tailored towards playing with multiple people. So if that's the case, then I can definitely see how this game is a win, right? The more you have people, the better your experience is likely to be. Playing it from a single player perspective, I can see where the tediousness and the boring factor would tend to be a little more prevalent. Always co-op experiences are always more enjoyable in my personal opinion. So if you have friends to play with, yes. If you're one that tends to be more of the loner lone wolf type, then this game may not be what you're expecting. But you know, I think the three of us, if we want, maybe the three of us should jump in on a let's play session one evening and play. I think that'd be fun because, you know, obviously our three personalities are always a hoot when we get into game. So.
Oh, by the way, later on, there's some zombies that they're tough later on in the game. Oof, really tough. Big ones too. I'll leave it at that. All right. So we have a lot of voicemails. So, you know, we're going to go first with our E3 predictions and stuff. But before that, just want to say we have a lot of voicemails and emails. So thank you to everybody that been sending it to us. I know everybody's excited about E3 and stuff. So continue to send us questions for the show. All right. So it's time for Miss Leo E3 2018 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
Real quick.
All right.
Real quick.
Yes.
Make sure we play the one that's asking about Call of the Black Ops 4 because I have some comments.
Oh, I don't know which one is that, but we have a long one. We have a multiple.
It's one of the later ones. It might even be the last one on the list.
Okay. All right. So this time, we're going to be predicting about Bethesda. I know they have a press conference on Sunday before E3. And we're going to talk about that too now, man. So I know we've been getting emails from people that are saying, look, guys, I like your predictions, but it sounds like some of them are like wish lists instead of actual predictions. Do you guys agree with that or it's more mixed?
I mean, but isn't that what a prediction is? Because we don't know. So, of course, it's a wish list. Yeah. I try to think logically what would happen this year. I mean, what potentially could happen. But at the end of the day, it's what you're hoping to see. And it's a mixture of what you're hoping to see and what you think you'll see, right?
Yeah.
At least for me, anyways.
Yeah. All right. So who wants to start first with this?
I'll start first, because I really don't have much. So we obviously already know about Rage 2 coming out. That's not a secret anymore. I think they will announce a proper sequel to Doom. It won't come out this year. It'll probably be 2019. I think they'll continue to push their Elder Scrolls Online and the Elder Scrolls card game. No hint at all at a proper Elder Scrolls game. I think they're going to do a Fallout 4 as far as that goes and not announce it until it's ready. So I don't think we'll see anything. Maybe there'll be a tiny hint of it in a teaser video or something somewhere, but I don't think we get any official announcement of a new Elder Scrolls game. As far as Fallout goes, again, I don't think we hear anything with Fallout except potentially Fallout 4 coming to the Switch. I think that may happen. Beyond that, I don't know. I really don't know with Bethesda on what they're going to show. I think they'll have a new IP that they've not even hinted at all that may be announced, but what it will be, I have no clue.
Yeah, I think that personally, I agree with you about Fallout coming to the Switch. I've been thinking about that lately. I can see that announcement coming up. And I also think that they're going to have more than just one game for the Switch. Maybe two. Maybe three. If they want to take it to that level and stuff. Because there's a lot of games that came out not only from the last generation, but also for this generation from Bethesda, they could easily port it to the Switch. You know, now, what are the chances of a game like Elder Scrolls Online? Do you think that's also possible for the Switch, Paris? Do you think that's possible?
No, because I don't think Bethesda is going to invest the resources into Elder Scrolls Online on the Switch, because you got to jump through too many hoops on the Switch to get communication working right and all that. I personally, maybe it's a wish list. I don't know. But I personally don't think they're going to invest the time or effort to try and port it over.
Okay. Yeah, like the thing with Rage, we never, like, who would have thought that they were going to make a sequel to that game? Because I know Mandy got a review copy when she was part of GTR, and she actually reviewed it on a podcast. And she said the thing that she didn't like was, it was a lot of fun, the game, but the thing that she didn't like was the ending was just, like, weird and strange. She was a little disappointed when it comes to that. But I don't know what else. I think we might see a brand new IP that they're going to announce Bethesda at their press conference. I can see that happening for sure. I think that's about it, man. You said a sequel to Doom. I could see that. And if they do announce it, I think they are going to have it for all consoles and also the Switch. If they do announce it, a sequel. Pete?
All right. So I think it's almost a fact, and I'm going to say that hard fact, there's not going to be an Elder Scrolls 6. Okay. They've been saying that it's a long way away. That's a game that takes a lot of development cycles to go through, especially from the level and just breadth of content that a title like that usually delivers. So I don't think we're going to see something like that. I think we see DLC announcement for Prey. I think we're going to see DLC for Wolfenstein 2, possibly The Evil Within 2 as well. I think, obviously, Rage 2, that's a given. I think the other unannounced one is going to be Starfield. Starfield is a game that was alleged to be revealed last year, but was held back. There's been a plethora of like hirings and behind the scenes, like operational type things throughout the last 6 to 9 months. So that all strengthens the rumor mill for Starfield being that other unannounced title at E3. And those are mine.
Okay. All right. I mean, The next one. All right. I think we should go with the big ones next time. Now, which one we should start first out of the three?
I think Xbox should be last.
Okay. All right. So we'll go with maybe Sony PlayStation next one, and then we'll go from there. There's only a couple weeks left, so we have to like wrap it up soon. All right. So stay tuned next time. It's next is going to be Sony PlayStation. All right. All right. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Pete. But while you're looking for the voicemail, I'm going to read one that I think is a pretty good question here that was sent in our email right now. Give me 1 second. All right. So this is from Pedro. Shout out to Pedro from Orlando. Shout out to him. Thanks for the email. All right. So he says, due to the new ruling from the Supreme Court allowing sports gambling, can you guys see developers in the future placing wage matches online directly in the game? Like if I'm going to head-to-head with someone in 2K, Madden, NBA Live, or UFC? Maybe even other competitive multiplayer games like Call of Duty or other shooters. Keep up doing a good job. Love your content. Would like to know your thoughts, if it's possible, instead of using online sites and apps.
No, I don't think it'll happen.
No.
Just for the simple fact, you're straight up putting gambling in the hands of children, potentially, unless the parental controls are set and everything's correct. And, you know, not being able to use funds out of the Xbox Live wallet or PlayStation wallet or whatever the case may be. The first time that slips up, the lawsuit will be huge.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it.
Think of all of the hullabaloo about loot boxes and Battlefront 2. The connotation that loot boxes are in a form of gambling. Mm-hmm. And you saw the fallout that happened, no pun intended, with gaming here, obviously, but you saw what happened as a result. Now the recommendation of potentially putting hard gambling, like we're not even hiding it behind the veil of secrecy or the veil of loot boxes. No, gambling in games. That's not something that's going to be, that should be or will be, you know, supported by the big three and the developers and all of that. That's way too much liability from their perspective, from a financial perspective for, you know, parents and kids. This is a video game place, right? This is where people are going to escape from reality and play video games. You start throwing that in there. I mean, we've already seen it happen with League of Legends and skins and things like that. That whole thing never ends well. Why transition it into this like that? So I don't see that being something that's going to happen.
I think I can see maybe third party companies doing it on the side. I don't see, let's say, Activision doing it for like Call of Duty. I just don't see that happening at all. But third party, yes, but not on skins and all that stuff, but more of pro players or pro teams and stuff. People can make bets, or let's say PUBG, top 100 players, you predict who's going to be the top 5 or something like that. Like, I can see that from third party companies doing it, because, you know, now because of this ruling from the Supreme Court, they could easily do that now. Easily. DraftKings could even add that to their roster. You know, like, they could do that easily. You know? So, but yeah, that was a great question. Great, great question, man. So,
yeah, I think, and when you say third party, you have to clarify, because we are talking video games. So people connotate third party with third party developers and stuff.
Outside
third parties. Yes. That's not something that the gaming industry can control. Right.
Yeah.
But is it possible, or is it probably already happening? I mean, the internet is a dark and seedy place. I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure it exists in some dark corner of the internet. But not something that's going to be supported by the developers, the gaming industry, you know, the big three, et cetera.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with the voicemail. First one. Let's go for it.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. It's David from Tennessee. I just got finished listening to the Call of Duty episode. And I've never really been a big fan of the of Call of Duty series. I've always felt they had a lack of creativity as far as like creating something innovative in the gaming industry. But after I listened to this episode, it seems like they're really taking a different route. And I'm not really a big fan of Battle Royale mode, but I'm actually interested to see what they can do. And I don't know if it'll make me pick it up on day one for the full price or whatnot, but do you think that this new change in the game will bring more players like me who appreciate creativity in the industry to the Call of Duty franchise who beforehand wouldn't do that? And do you think that other players who are more accustomed to the original or the more traditional way of Call of Duty are going to veer away from the series? Thanks, guys, for all the great episodes. You guys helped me get to my shift at work, and I love you guys. My number one podcast. All right. Have a good one.
All right. Do you like the shift in this, in the gaming industry where they're going with different as opposed to following, you know, the cut and paste method?
Well, see, here's the thing. Obviously, Dan and I were at the event, and you know, we sat there in the press conference, and we got to play the multiplayer. And like I said, you listen to the last episode, you get our initial thoughts. And it's funny, I listened to that episode, and I came off of it realizing I was a little too caught up in the moment and not being as 100% honest about it as I should have been, I think, you know, because... And I get, and thank you for the voicemail. I get exactly what he's saying. He's saying, hey, I wasn't a fan of Call of Duty anyway, so I'm okay with the shift and them trying something with the Battle Royale mode or Blackout mode, as they're calling it. I come off as, and again, this is all rumor. We don't know how much of this is true, but let's for this conversation, let's assume the rumors were mostly true and that Treyarch was working on a campaign and they weren't going to be able to finish it in time, so they pivoted. And this is what this Blackout mode is going to be. This is why they're expanding the zombies mode and all that, which tells me they weren't going to take a quote unquote risk and try something different. They were going to do the same cookie cutter thing that they always do. But because of development times and the fact that they have to have a Call of Duty out every year, this is what we got. The jury's still out on what the Blackout mode is going to be. We don't know. We do know it is quote unquote Battle Royale themed. They're going to have vehicles in it and this big, largest map they've ever done, etc. I'm willing to wait and see what it is before I judge it. So I'm not judging it yet. But overall, like, because we talked about this, is Black Ops 4 worth $60? I'm saying maybe, because you have alienated a certain portion of your audience by not having that traditional campaign there. Personally, like I've said before, I really don't care because I kind of stopped playing the campaign years ago. It's not something that truly intrigues me. The multiplayer that we did play was fun. Like, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I might play zombies once. It's not something that's going to really appeal to me, and we'll see what Blackout is going to be. But I do here's what I'm trying to get to. That announcement was underwhelming, and it's funny comparing it to the Destiny 2 reveal that Activision did exactly a year before in the same location. I kept saying it to Danny the whole time. I go, dude, this is like a quarter of the size. You know, I remember it seemed like it was 1,000 people there. Everyone was super hyped. It was just this amazing thing. And what the game became, that's besides the point. But you could tell that Activision wasn't treating this as this huge announcement on a global scale, like they were doing something so innovative. They pivoted. It's very apparent they pivoted, and this is what it is. We'll look back at what Black Ops 4 is, and let's also remember Black Ops 4, it takes place between Black Ops 2 and 3 as an example. So this isn't even truly a proper extension or sequel to what they've been doing in the Black Ops series. I think this Black Ops 4 will ultimately wind up being a footnote in the series of... They just ran out of development time and they put together the best thing that they possibly could. They're not doing anything truly innovative here unless they do something with the Battle Royale mode that we've simply not seen before. So all that talking just to say, for some people, this will be worth the $60 to go pick it up because they're just going to play the damn multiplayer anyways. That a Battle Royale mode is a nice option to it. But it is starting to look like this is an underwhelming Call of Duty overall. Just my two cents now that I've been able to take a step back from the event and really look at what we got to see earlier this week. And again, maybe the blackout mode changes my mind, but that's kind of what I'm thinking today.
Yeah, I'm excited for zombies. The whole time I was just like, oh man, this is cool. I'm a huge fan of zombies and stuff. So more than multiplayer. Now with the multiplayer, and tell me if you agree with me, Paris, but I like the changes that they made, especially where let's say you get shot, your health is down, you press L1 to heal yourself and everything. I think by them adding that, Treyarch adding that, that's like it's more competitive because people could really.
But
really
is it
get
though?
Good at the game.
But
I think it's good.
Is it?
Yeah,
because,
I think it's cool.
Because even if I was low health, I'm still going to take a step back until I regenerate. So me manually doing it or the game automatically doing it, it's just adding a muscle memory thing in there. I don't know.
But see, going to like the esports event, right? I'm watching the competition live. Man, there could be like so many different scenarios, like them doing that or us playing online with other people. I think it's more competitive by them doing that. Like, it's cool. You know, it's something different. It's not like, please take care of me. Auto health, please. Like, you know, I think this is great.
How does that add to the competitive nature though?
You're doing it on yourself. You're doing it yourself. It's not, you're depending on the game to heat you up. Now you're doing it on your own. I think that's good, man. It's different. I think it's different.
I don't see how it's different because you see other games that have done it as well. And then, like Paris said, mm-hmm. either you're auto healing, a la the original Call of Duty games, or like in a sense like Halo, where you know your health regenerates over time. And you have games like Battlefield, where mm-hmm. you're reliant on the healing of others to provide that, or games like Overwatch, where you know you're mm-hmm. you have to request healing from other players, or hell, you go into the battle royale mode in instances like that, and you know your health is your health until you get shot or you go down.
But it's fun though. But look at the games like Overwatch. It's a successful game.
But you're steering away from the core tenet of what Call of Duty is.
I hate to interrupt. What's Danny, up? What is your point? I think that's what
my point is, like, I like the changes. Like, it was hard for me to get used to it at the moment we were playing, but I like it. I'm not a multiplayer guy. Like, I'm not, you know, crazy with a multiplayer. I think back in the days, I'm more zombies, you know. I'm wondering if they're going to add that in zombies too. Like, because the thing is, the only option we had over there, the only thing that they had available hands-on was just the multiplayer. So from that point of view, I like it. I like the changes. It's not, you know, that's why I just wanted to bring that up very quick, you know. So also, Paris, don't try to attack me, you know.
No, I'm not because you're not really, because you're talking about the multiplayer, which no one's debating, then the multiplayer will probably be fun. It's basically is all the quote unquote changes they've made in Black Ops 4, does it still make it worth the $60 price tag?
It all depends on Blackout. It all depends on that. I think by them adding the three different stories on zombies, I'm wondering how long is each story. Is it fun? Again, we haven't seen anything. This is me guessing. I think we will hear from them during maybe Comic-Con. We probably hear something about zombies, if they have like famous actors that did the voice acting for the game. And then Gamescom, we'll probably find out more about Blackout. That's what I think.
So you don't think it's going to be E3 that they drop the Blackout news?
Nope. At all. Right now, at E3, they're going to have only multiplayer. The same thing that they showed during the real event, that's the thing that we're going to get to see. Because remember, I even mentioned this to Paris, during E3 Judges Week, companies show the games to all the judges, right? That what they're going to show at E3. When we were there, there was someone that was also part of the judges week that, you know, mentioned, oh, you guys are going to like it, you know, because they already got to see that at E3 judges week. So this is what we're going to see at E3. I know Paris is saying, no, they're probably going to show us zombies. No, I don't think so, man. I think
I didn't say
they're
zombies.
Gonna save,
I said they're going to show
zombies. Not zombies, multiplayer. But Blackout, no, Blackout, they're not going to show that. I think they're going to show zombies at Comic-Con if they have famous actors that worked on the voicing for the game. And then Gamescom, they'll show Blackout. And they have like a crazy booth with I don't know how many players, whatever. So
okay, can I retort? I disagree, and the reason I think, well, number one, you can't show Blackout mode at E3 Judges Week because where are you getting the 100 people to do this? Unless they're going to constantly have a bunch of Activision employees on the standby so that four or five journalists can jump in and do the Blackout mode, right?
Bots.
But you do it at E3 because, especially with the public being there, you can get 100 people in per session every time. They could set up the booth to do that. And it actually helps with crowd control because you're doing 100 a pop every time. Boop, 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 boop. They go in, they play that mode, and then they're out after, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. 100 at a time. I know you keep saying, oh, they're going to wait till Gamescom. My opinion, you're doing this big mode. You want to show it on the biggest stage possible, which is going to be E3. It's not going to be Gamescom. Now, if they hold
Gamescom is bigger than E3, though.
Not audience-wise. Okay.
Audience-wise is bigger than E3. I'm just letting you know.
That's not what I'm saying. I know,
but here's the thing.
Then you're arguing with something I'm not arguing. I didn't say that from an audience standpoint that there's more people at E3. I'm saying from a public perception, there's more media attention on E3 than there is at Gamescom. That is 100% fact. And you would show off your quote unquote newest mode where you're going to get the most public attention. That's my point.
Right. I seem to recall that being my point about 2 weeks ago. And then, you know, I got flamed by you guys with regards to this past weekend. But I like Paris said, and it's what I said before, you want to make your biggest showing on your biggest stage. And that's why I think Blackout is going to be finally unveiled. It might have even been on the docket for this past weekend's event that you guys were at, but maybe due to scheduling, maybe they just weren't ready to show it because they didn't have enough, or it just wasn't ready to go. Remember, E3 is an event that developers and publishers work for months in advance. And if something is not ready to go, there's a reason for it. And if, like Paris said, you have opportunity to expose it to a lot of people now, especially with the public. And I get what you're saying with Gamescom, because yes, from a person, you know, if you're going from a people count perspective, yes, it's much larger. But from a media, from an industry, everybody's eyes are on E3 since January, December of last year. So yes, Gamescom is huge, but right now, I don't know. I don't even know what the general consensus is on Black Ops 4. Still, after watching the live stream, I've watched the replay. It looks good. I don't know if it's enough to draw me back to play full time. I'll probably play the Battle Royale mode because it looks interesting, but it's still a wait and see perspective. I'm still waiting to see because there's a lot of factors that they have not, you know, released. And you can't make a qualified judgment on just because they announced the title.
All right, let me ask you this quick question before we play the next voicemail. So what was so big about Call of Duty overall in the past before this whole Battle Royale announcement? Was it campaign or was it multiplayer?
Both.
It's multiplayer. It's always been multiplayer. I would say it's a 70-30 split multiplayer versus single player.
Okay, multiplayer. Now, in the past, what was it that they showed at E3 every single year? Was it multiplayer or was it campaign?
They can't show campaign this year because there's no campaign.
Okay, campaign. Oh, hold on. No. I'm not talking about this year in the past, Pete. In the past.
Campaign.
Campaign. All right. And then what happened after E3? They had a multiplayer event closer to the launch of the game.
Yes.
So what is big for this game is not multiplayer. It's the Battle Royale because it's something new. They're saving that for closer to the launch. So they're going to have a separate event for Blackout. And the thing that makes sense, in the past, they even flew a lot of the pro gamers, content creators to Europe to go to Gamescom to play the multiplayer for the first time after E3. That's what's going to happen for this game. It just doesn't make sense. Why are they going to show everything and just at E3 and save the good stuff for later? Plus, wait until to see what the competition is doing, like, you know, Battlefield. Because I think personally, I think Battlefield, they probably will show the whole Battle Royale because Activision didn't show that. So they're probably going to take advantage of that and show it and have it available to play at EA Play. That's what I think. So we'll see. I personally think they're going to show it at Gamescom or closer to the launch. That's what I think. So let's go with the next voicemail, Pete.
Yeah, my name's Josh from Selma, Tennessee. Man, I have a question for y'all. Love the show, by the way. No one has ever heard of my favorite game, man. It's Time Splitters. Every one of them. There's like three of them. I love all of them. They got better every time they made another one. Over the last couple of years, I hear rumors from time to time from stuff I see, just a sentence here or there, maybe there, about making a new Time Splitters game. You guys find something out for me, man, I'd really freaking appreciate it. Love the show. Can't wait to hear the next episode, man. Hope the best for all of you. Later.
I don't know if we'll see a new Time Splitters. I don't know. I think that boat may have sailed. I remember playing the first one. I did enjoy it. I don't recall playing second or third. So, you know, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Do you think that is the right time for the game to come back now for this new generation? You think it's possible?
I don't know. I mean, I with the advent of backwards compatibility, I guess that's something that they can research on, check and see the metrics on whether Time Splitters even gets played on a regular basis to see if there's any supporting data to push it forward. No. And that was Free Radical, if I'm not mistaken. Is Free Radical even still open?
Good question. They were like the former Perfect Dark team, right? From Rare. And then they went and made Free Radical. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
They were rebranded as Crytek UK. So I'm looking into it. And actually, this was a little bit of news that was dropped last month. Apparently, there was an effort to do it. There was a fourth Time Splitter was in development by Free Radical. Then again, after the studio is rebranded as Crytek UK, but it was never done enough to jump forward into hardcore development and testing. There is a huge cache of concept art that popped up on Reddit. So that's something you may want to do, is go check up on Time Splitters on Reddit and see there. But apparently there was characters from the 50s. There was pirates. There was, people from ancient Greece, and then all the monsters and monkeys and nuns and people. So,
you know what would be cool? I think that if they had an opportunity to announce this game, like the return of Time Splitters, I think it would be great to do that at the Sony PlayStation conference. I think it would be perfect for them. You know, if they ever bring this game back. Okay, that's not a first part. That's not a lot, but I think it will be great to get some third party announcements at the Sony PlayStation conference and stuff. Showcase.
So apparently, it says here that the company that was working on it, Free Radical, also went on to work on development work for Star Wars Battlefront 3 and 4, and those got canceled as well. So maybe it's not so much of a good track record for them.
Yeah. All right. All right, so let's go over the next voicemail.
Hey, GamerTag Radio. This is Adam from Casper, Wyoming. Just giving a shout-out. I appreciate your show. I've been listening to it for about a year now and enjoy the opinions, leaving the free will to be able to choose what we want and be what we want. I never follow the opinions of other people, especially at GameStop, things like that. They always try to suggest, oh, you wouldn't like that game, but I like to make my own opinions about games. In any case, my question for you is game-related, but also movie-related. What did you guys think, and I'm pretty sure you may have already talked about this, what did you think about the movie Ready Player One? brought a lot of nostalgia, things that I remember playing. You know, it was an awesome movie in my opinion. But in any case, thanks for what you do. Thanks for being there forever. And I'm going to try to get some more friends to join up with you guys.
I really, really enjoyed Ready Player One. I don't know about you guys, but I thoroughly enjoyed just the whole premise. I try to go into movies without having a predetermined idea, concept, or I try not to be the person that comes in and tries to overly criticize the writing and the acting. I just like the general message. And as from a video game and a geek perspective, from a kid growing up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that you know caught as many of those references as possible, I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was a good movie, man. And here's an Easter egg that I want to mention, because I haven't seen anyone talking about it, but there's a scene in the movie that it's like a lot of stuff in the background, junk and stuff like that, and behind, you'll see the first issue of the Nintendo Power. I don't know if you noticed that, Pete. The first issue of Nintendo Power, which is the first Mario game. Or was it Mario 2? One of the two. And you'll see it there in the back. And I'm like, oh, man, that's dope, man. So the thing that I like about that movie is that there's a lot of Easter eggs, man. This could be like in the background and stuff. And if you're a true fan and you're into that, this is something that you could watch over and over again. Plus, the story was very entertaining, I think, man. You know, really, really cool. I enjoyed it. So, Paris?
I've never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right. Gotcha.
All right.
That interests me.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Mike here from Texas. I'm a relatively new listener. Just wanted to first off say I appreciate you guys' show and the content that you do. I'm glad I found y'all, and I just keep up the good work. My question I thought pertains to a game that came out during the OG Xbox era. It was called Jade Empire from BioWare. At the time, it was the first game that I sunk like 100+ hours into. It was a great game, the rich world, and just a great narrative. I was wondering if you guys ever heard of it or do you remember it? If you did you like it? And what I would be interested in, do you think it deserves some sort of resurgence for today? I would love to see the property come back. I've read online that Bauer hasn't really considered doing anything with it, but they do hear the wants or pleas from different fans that have reached out and said they want to see it again. I would be happy if it at least came back on backwards compatibility, but I would love to see someone do something with the story or even a remake, a remaster, or whatever. So, you know, just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that. That would be an interesting IP to bring back, especially for Xbox. I know it's not, you know, they don't own it, but if somehow they got a hold of it, I think that would be really cool. You know, and I think, you know, I just want to, I guess, hear what you guys think about it. Thanks for all that you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Jade Empire. Honestly, I've never even played that game, so I have zero opinion and zero excitement. I know that BioWare's got all hands on deck right now for Anthem, and I don't even know if this is something that would be approached, considering the negative feedback from Mass Effect Andromeda. I don't know if BioWare wants to do something akin to splitting up their studios in order to, you know, start focusing on another title. I think right now Anthem is the only title that they're working on focusing on. Rightfully so.
Okay. Well, I heard from people that were at the event, this is just journalists and stuff, that they think that we might see a Dragon Age. That's like the rumor that's been going around, that they could easily, BioWare can easily announce it. But remember, there. I think, don't get, maybe I'm wrong or not, but I think there was two teams that was working on Anthem and another team that was working on Mass Effect. So the team that worked on Mass Effect, I think they stopped working on the DLC content and everything for Mass Effect, and they're working on Dragon Age.
That's incorrect.
So I don't... What?
That's incorrect. What happened was that BioWare Montreal studio got shut down, and they moved some assets to EA... Oh, I'm forgetting the name of the studio now. They moved some of those people over to another EA studio to basically support DLC efforts, and the rest of the people from that studio are all hands on deck for Anthem.
Okay.
Not since I'm talking, I'll keep talking. My theory is, they could announce a Dragon Age game, but it's not going to come from BioWare. They'll give it to EA, give it to another studio to do it. Because I think BioWare is all hands on deck for Anthem. There's no way they're gonna split resources between two AAA games like that. Because what's going to happen is if they do, then both are going to suffer. So they got to make sure Anthem is a hit. And if Anthem isn't a hit, then BioWare as a whole is in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll mention something that something that happened online and stuff, the conversation. But anyways, I don't see Jade Empire coming back, man. Maybe they'll bring back the old game where you could play it on multiple consoles as possible. You know, I could see that happening. But yeah, like Paris said, their focus on is Anthem. Now, speaking about Anthem, Paris, we were talking about this privately. And I think I read somewhere on Twitter that I think it's possible for The Division 2 to come out early next year in 2019 during the same time Anthem is also coming out early 2019. And the conversation we were having is, who do you think people are going to go and buy? Or who is the one they're going to probably fail based on the hype? The majority of people are just going to go to one game. You're saying The Division, which I agree. I could see that happening. It all depends where they show us too. But you also said that EA has a lot to show, man, because I think the majority of people feel comfortable with an established IP, right?
Yeah, what I said, and I even said this on Twitter, is if both of those games come out in March 2019, which essentially puts them head-to-head, if anyone were to blink, it would be Anthem, for the simple fact that The Division is now an established IP. Since that 1.8 update, it has had great word of mouth, very, you know, positive buzz across the community. People are really liking the direction that The Division is going. And if The Division 2 can show that it's going to continue that momentum, then if I had to choose, I'm going to choose the established IP, which is a sequel where the developers have had time to get a lot of lessons learned, where they've admitted they didn't have enough in the end game at launch for The Division 1, and they plan to fix it, versus a brand new IP coming from not only a publisher and a studio who's had a recent history, less than stellar track record. I'm going to pick The Division 2 personally. And I'm not saying that, oh, Anthem's in trouble, Anthem's going to be bad. Anthem could be amazing. I honestly, I hope they both are amazing. This isn't the issue. But if I'm saying, if I had to choose, because both of these are the shared shooter universe games, looter shooters, you got to have some kind of established end game and all that, I'd have more confidence that a Division 2 is going to be able to accomplish that than I am Anthem. And I also understand, because some people on Twitter responded to me saying, well, I'm not into the realistic shooter stuff, I want the sci-fi setting and all that. I get it. If it's a genre choice, then you pick the genre that you'd be more comfortable in. But if I'm just looking at it as a pure shared shooter, in-game loot content type of game, Massive has experience in it now, where BioWare does not. It really comes down to that. It's that simple.
Question. Yep. Has Anthem become a wait and see title?
No.
Is it still a day one buy?
Right now, right now it's day one, unless they do something at EA Play to absolutely turn me off from it. But yeah, it's a game I am anticipating. I want to see Anthem. I can't wait to EA Play to get my hands on it so I can actually play it and see where they are in the process. Hopefully they will put a date on it, which it sounded like March 2019. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm also really looking forward to The Division 2 as well. And, you know, I like these type of games. Just again, my point was, if they're going head to head, like Jason Schreier said in his tweet, one of them is going to suffer if they go head to head. My guess would be it would be Anthem if between the two, because I think enough people have positive. There's in the last year, there's been enough positive feedback about the division that as long as they show that they're going to continue that with the sequel. And again, the fact that Ubisoft is openly talking about, we know we didn't have enough content at launch. We know we didn't have the end game fleshed out enough at launch, and we're going to fix that in Division 2. That gets me excited, because that tells me as a company and as a development studio, they recognize the error of their ways and they plan to fix it. So that's just me.
To me, I think that it's a wait and see, in my opinion, because I can't get hype over a trailer that they show last year. I want to play the game at EA Play, and then I'll decide from there. So based on the trailer, yeah, it looks good and everything. But, you know, in the past, I fall into the whole hype, and then the game comes out, and it's like, wait a minute, it's not like the presentation that they showed us a couple of years ago, like something like that, you know? So once I play it, then I'll decide, okay, day one or what. So that's just me. Head over to gamertagradio.com, audioboom.com. You could find our content there. Or go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe, post a review, share with your friends. It will help us out big time. Also, if you haven't had a chance, go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. You could buy shirts, posters, stickers, all kinds of goodies. And at the same time, you will be supporting our podcast. All right?
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737.
Anything else, guys?
Cobra Kai, go watch it. It's amazing.
Deadpool 2, go watch it.
Definitely.
Lots of fun.
Another thing, we're not going to be streaming live on Wednesday because I have to fly out. P is going to a concert in Paris. It's only going to be busy, so we're all busy. But we are planning to release a brand new episode of GTR that I recorded during my trip. We're going to release that later this week, so stay tuned. And that's about it. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.